The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Here comes Gore on the run. Gore trying to pass it inside. Jones. To Harden. Harden. Back over to Brewer. Fires it up. Corey Brewer hits a cold-blooded three. And the game is tied at 99. Up by 50.
It meant a lot, you know, when somebody makes a shot like that, you know, it can wake up everybody. I feel like everybody woke up where we get the win. You know, it's going to be a lot of things happening during seasons that can change the season around. So that shot changes around. I'm happy to make it, but it's all about the team, and now it's time for us to keep winning.
So I guess that one game has changed everything for the Rockets. Hey, it's time to get our Vegas on and our boxing on, and who knows what else. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master, back in studio in Houston, Texas, and our buddy Michael Pearson keeping us on air out here in Las Vegas. If you want to get in today, best way is probably going to be via the Facebook page. You can go to the Blitz Facebook page, click like, and go to visitor posts, put your comments on there. You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler. At AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. But we are on location at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, and need to tell you that we're coming to you live from here, where two of boxing's biggest superstars, Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez, will collide in a mega fight for the middleweight world championship. It's a can't-miss battle between all-action warriors and an epic matchup in the tradition of the storied Puerto Rico versus Mexico rivalry. Watch their final preparations on the finale of HBO's 24/7 Cotto Canelo tonight at 11 Eastern and Pacific, and don't miss Cotto vs. Canelo live on pay-per-view this Saturday, 8 o'clock Central Time, 6 o'clock Pacific. So we will have a little bit of a different show today. We'll have a lot of interviews for you from out here, and we've already lined up quite a few, including a couple that, one in particular that is very odd.
Very strange. We'll play that. Let's play that next.
We are. We're going to.
Okay, good.
For those of you who have longtime listeners of the show, you've heard us interview Bernard Hopkins before. And
Bernard's in a different place right now.
Yeah. Bernard is he's definitely in a different place.
And listen, we've had awkward interviews before. And probably, I mean, we've had worse interviews before,
yeah,
for sure. But this one, It was very different. I'll say that. It was strange.
It was so odd that I think it's kind of good.
I don't know if it's good, but I don't think it's bad either.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of it. But anyway, that'll be next. And so we've got several other interviews, and then we'll do our usual stuff. Christopher Harris will join us at 5:30 to talk fantasy football. Willie B will be here in the 6 o'clock hour to talk college football betting and NFL betting. So we'll get all of that as usual. There's probably not many phone calls today.
It's
impossible for us. And it's hard enough to hear just in general, so trying to do phone calls would probably be a disaster. But should be a fun show, and we've already had a fun trip out here to Vegas. We got in pretty late last night thanks to the fact that our airline didn't have any flight attendants. We had to wait for them for about an hour.
Oh, my God.
And it's funny how I was tweeting jokes about it. People thought I was complaining because I said, nice job. I can get my own drinks. Let's get the plane in the air. And
it was a little obnoxious, don't get me wrong.
A little bit, but
what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's not our fault. But
we missed the tournament last night, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
But on the bright side, you cashed in the tournament this morning
already. Second this morning, and I think 33 people in it. So
not me. I did not cash in the tournament this morning.
You just got a little – you never really got any cards to play with, and you got in with the best of it, which is all you can do. But, I played really well, especially when I got to the final table, short stacked, and just let the idiots knock each other out. Next thing you know, you're second. So just kept climbing up the money ladder there. But anyway, it's been a fun trip so far. I'm looking forward to maybe getting a little more poker in tonight and whatever else. But always fun to come out here to Las Vegas and out here at Mandalay Bay, which is a really, really nice casino.
Oh, this is one of the nicest places in Vegas, man. This is one of the few five stars. I think there's 7 or 8 five-star hotels here on the Strip, up and down it, and this is one. This is the furthest one on this side, and but, you know, might be up there amongst the nicest on this end of the Strip for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's the Wynn down there, and those things are beautiful. Yeah. The Wynn and the Encore and Trump, but this is no slouch, man. This is a beautiful place. Some great places to eat, great places to gamble. This is the sports book is so great here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a palace is what it is, that sports book.
The good news is it's a very short walk from where we're staying, which
yes.
is not a palace.
And you don't have to go outside to
no.
do that.
No,
it actually is sort of palace-themed.
Yes, it's sort of like an ancient palace.
Is your room upgraded? Is it better than it was last time?
Yes.
Mine, too. Mike Pearson not line up with us. And he's still in the old school rooms.
Oh, see, yeah, we got ours kind of in a cluster with the Mighty Gwynn there.
Yes,
and we got
and we're upgraded.
Nice. Yeah, that's what Pearson gets for going solo.
That's
on
right.
Us. Speaking of the Mighty Gwynn, guess who had to fill in with the Mighty Gwynn this morning?
The Barry Warner.
No, well the Barry Warner did get there.
Listen,
at about 9:30.
Listen, guys, this boxing. What is this?
It's a fad.
It's never going to make it. It's never going to last. People like baseball. That's what people like. They like football. That's it. This is nonsense.
Well, basically, I came over here this morning because...
By the way, that was my Barry, not Bob Arum.
That's kind of a Barry Arum.
Bob Arum. Bob loves boxing. Boxing's the greatest sport. Known to man.
So basically it's the same voice. One of them loves boxing, one
no,
of them doesn't.
No, it's a different voice. Okay. I'm still adjusting so I can get like some clarity between the two. But
well, it was pretty funny because I don't know when you and I became the adults in this operation, but I came down here with Michael Pearson this morning just to see the setup, make sure everything was cool. And Dylan was supposed to come over with us, and he was going to text me or Pearson and say, okay, let's go. We're going to leave at 6, our time. And because he had a show to do at 9 in Houston, which is 8 here. Well, about 6:15, Pearson and I are just like, you know what? Can't reach this guy. Guess what he did?
Yeah.
Pulled a full Ryan Mallett. Did not have his alarm on. You never go full Ryan Mallett. So I came down here, and I was all set up to start the show.
I thought he had something like the Mighty One was saying that he had some kind of doctor's appointment or something.
No,
like
that was Barry. Now, you don't confuse the two.
Oh, okay.
Because so I'm already here. And I'm like, okay, I'll do the show with Barry until Dylan wakes up. And they finally caught in contact with us, and we know how long it takes to get here, so we're like, it's going to be close. So Dylan gets here on time, which is great. And I'm like, fine, I can leave now. Well, no, guess who's not there back in Houston? Barry Warner.
Oh, my.
Barry was trying to get an Uber from a doctor's appointment, and apparently could not – he was blaming it on Uber. But he missed the first segment and a half, so I wound up doing the show with Dylan anyway. So, yeah, that was my morning.
All right.
Then
well.
I went off and played poker and did great. So, actually, it was fun. I want to say, when did we become the guys that actually show up on time and do our jobs?
I don't know what's going on with that.
Especially in Las Vegas. My God.
Yeah. We got here too late to do all the stuff we wanted to do. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have been up early today.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean,
Mike Pearson and I tried to go to In-N-Out.
Yeah, I heard about this little trip.
We walked over there, and the walk took a little longer than we thought. And by the time we got there...
Not a good area you were walking through either.
No, but we never felt threatened or anything. But we got there, and they were closed like 5 minutes after we got there, or 5 minutes before we got there. So then we had to get an Uber... which, by the way, Vegas has Uber now, which is nice.
Yeah.
So we could stop getting made love to by cab drivers. But
explain to Barry Warner how to use it, too, by the way, just for future reference.
Okay. I'll let him know. maybe he can get a free credit from me or something. But we went over to Fatburger instead and Fatburgered last night. And then I went from Fatburger straight to the room, straight to sleep.
Well, I'm very proud of myself because you know what I did? I went and put my stuff up. went down, had a couple of drinks, and watched some highlights. Boom, I was out by one.
There you go.
And I mean, it was close to one when we finally got settled.
What kind
in.
Of drinks? You hit the mini bar or what?
No. I just I went down to the bar down at the casino. And had a couple of Jack Daniels. That was it. Went to bed by 1:30, and I was up at. Unlike some people around here, Dylan Gwynn, I was up at 5:30.
Yeah, the mighty Gwynn was talking about being responsible and like trying to. I'm the one who has to be up early.
Yeah.
And then he didn't set an alarm.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, mighty one.
Exactly. So, anyway, I pulled a little extra duty this morning, but it was fun. And, that's what we're here for, AJ.
That's not what I'm here for. Well, that's what you're here for. I don't do that. I don't get up early and fill in for someone else. No way.
It was a little odd, but it's always a I love coming on these trips. It's a very different thing now when we come out here because, you know, it used to be we just party the whole time, and you know, now we still party the whole time, but we're also able to do the show. So I'm very proud of us. Well, me anyway. I was here. You could have done it though. You were good last night.
Oh, well, I was good last night, but I wasn't trying to get up early and come do a show. Listen, I'm no fool.
I'm anticipating tonight being fairly lame. I'm going to go and grab a burger after the show and maybe a nap and then play another poker tournament.
That's the plan. So. I think I'm going to go to this company, I guess Golden Boy is throwing like a media dinner. I'm going to go to that.
Cool. You can represent us there.
I'll go take that one and then I'll probably meet up with you for the poker tournament.
That sounds like a plan, man. This is
and the only decision we'll have to make is which side of the street we want to play on is all it
exactly,
boils down to.
Exactly. It's pretty cool. That's one good thing about where we're situated is there's one in Monte Carlo. There's one over here. There's one at Excalibur. There's three or four pretty decent little tournaments all about the same time. So just depends on where we want to play. MGM, yeah. You know. But anyway. 713-780-ESPN. Ben wanted to know if we could tweet a picture of the setup here at Mandalay Bay. Where we are, it's really not that attractive. I mean, there's a table behind us. But I guess if we were to take a picture of sort of where the press conference area is set
up. Yeah, we could get you guys a picture.
Yeah, we'll do that. So, anyway, all right.
What we can't tweet you pictures of are all the Spanish-speaking female media members running around here. Dressed in pants that are way, way smaller than the size you would have guessed that they wear.
And
that's what they're wearing.
Yeah, and I have to say the percentage of the ones that should be dressed like that.
Oh, yeah. There seems to be the females at these press conferences today don't seem to discriminate on whether or not they should be wearing really tight-fitting clothes. Now, there are some that look great.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
One or two.
But there are also some that look like it looks like the piece of boudin that's like kind of broken in the middle.
Yeah.
Because it had too much rice in it and the casing broke.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
There's a lot of that. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it'll be Bernard Hopkins, and I'll be curious to hear from you guys via the text line and via Twitter. Maybe you can sort out exactly what he's trying to say for us.
Okay.
Because I think AJ and I were just kind of looking at each other like, eh?
I don't think – listen, I'm not going to lie. I'll just go ahead and tell you now. I have no idea what he was talking about.
I don't either, so we're going to
– And at one point he was like, I'm glad you asked that, and I never asked the question.
Never asked anything.
I never brought it up, and he's like, I'm really glad you asked because – and then I'm just sitting here thinking, wait, I haven't asked a question in like 5 or 7 minutes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so hopefully the Blitzers can explain to us what the hell that's all about. But right now, tell them about Sports Manias.
Sports Manias. Listen, guys, fantasy football – is probably at this point you're either super pumped with the way that your fantasy season's gone and you've probably been using Sports Manias and you're a genius. If not, you're probably doing poorly and you should be using Sports Manias to try and not make you embarrass yourself. This is it's a free app, first of all, which is the best part. Doesn't cost you anything, so there's really no risk in trying this thing out. And it's going to give you an edge. It's going to help you dominate your league, guys. Go to the App Store, free app, search for Sports Manias, one word, and what you do is you import your fantasy teams from Yahoo, CBS, or ESPN. You'll get personalized feeds from fantasy football experts around the country, including breaking news, scoring opportunities, fantasy points, milestones, real-time updates on your players, and it's going to help you make smarter lineup decisions. I've been using this thing all year long, and it's got me really competitive in all my leagues. Sportsmania's brand-new fantasy tool gives you an edge to dominate your leagues. Get on your cell or tablet, go to the App Store, and download Sportsmania's for free right now. That's one word, Sportsmania's.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, guys, we are back here in Vegas, and joining us now, a name that needs no introduction, Bernard Hopkins, who... reading about this, it looks like you're going to maybe do one more fight. Is that what the plan is?
Yeah, that's the plan. Right now, the particulars are no names yet, but it is some conversation about the fights coming up the same night. Matter of fact, Cotto and Canelo with Arthur Abraham, who fights that night in Germany. And if not, then there's, you know, two other names out there that seems to be available, but it has to be somebody that has the credibility and the skills to put a good show on it and beat me if I'm not right and on my game. This won't be a situation where I tell people this is not a charity fight. This is not a fight based on just to fight. It has to be something that I always stood for: pride, dignity, and respect. And I want to leave that message in the ring that night. When that happened, late spring, early summer.
If Arthur Abraham, if he drops the title to Martin Murray,
which he easily can,
is that a fight that you'd be interested in as well, or is Abraham more of the name that you're looking for?
Well, Abraham is more of the name. I don't know too much about Murray, but Abraham is more of the name because of not only the Super Six and the States and. Of course, we know what happened with that. He didn't come up with the victory of that tournament. But in the same token, yes, I'm rooting for him. But we also understand how things happen in boxing, where you got to have more than plan A or B in some cases. So the key thing is there's no worries whether it happens or it don't. Now, what do you mean when people say no worries? Like, I mean, you're motivated to fight. You want to fight. You won't be upset. No, I wouldn't. Because I believe things are for a reason. I really believe that. And my thing is, at 51 come January 15th, when I'm done, and I will be after that fight, right? That's the deal. I'm going to make sure, because of that last page that I want to do, not with the fans and the media and people think that I've done what I need to do 10 years ago. You ought to missed all this good 10 stuff if I ought to really listen to my mother at 40. Think about, and being here to say it, and working on HBO color commentating, saying this, and also being a promoter. So all these hats he's wearing, man got three personalities, and he's controlling all these things. In some cases, they give you a pill, right? If you got that man mentality. I don't need a pill. I need exercise. I need fitness. I need to keep my body right. I need to keep my stomach down, which is my core. I need to understand that exercise, as long as I'm going to eat, going to keep me alive. I don't know what's in the food. No matter what I eat, organic, this, that, whatever, it doesn't mean enough. You're breathing, you're listening, and you're hearing. I'll end on that note. But I want to leave a profound argumentative over time. When they sit down, these smart guys, and I don't say that to be smart, and they analyze Bernard Hopkins, the man Bernard Hopkins, the athlete, I want to make sure it is not a short conversation.
Right.
It's going to be so many, not debates, but more of opinions of this or that. That means that I've done something in a lot of ways here. You know about my personal life. That's a story itself. The boxing life, big story. In the middle, the family man, no scandals, no this, no front page. When you hear these things, is not which we call a normal world. It's not normal to be that in this world that ain't normal anymore.
You got a book
in
you?
So that's why I call the alien.
You got a book in you at some point?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I got a book of a lot of things wrapped up in that. If you want to know how many fights, how many championships, how many records I broke, that's easy. You can go on social media and find that. But when you want to know about my thinking way past my career is over, you can say even now, and how I kept that mentality of discipline. Even I haven't been in the ring almost a year since November 8th of last year. The average, not all, but the average athlete walks around 30-plus pounds heavier, football, basketball. Y'all see these guys, they diabetes is knocking on the door. Now, the only thing you can do is look at me and say you motivated or you jealous or you envy. And I understand that because man, not women, will always find a way not to like you, your beard, your job, your this or that, your shoes, especially if they're an employee, some of them, not all. Man always had a competition with man. And so I'm motivated to look my best every time I step out. There's not a day that I step out and not knowing that I look good in the morning, no matter what goes on in the life. There's no day that passed by where I look in that mirror and said, damn, I'm getting my interest off that good investment that I invested in 20 plus years ago. That takes a strong individual. When you take that and you channel that into the hustle of promoting, the hustle of this, the hustle of that. You think Jay-Z got a Harvard degree, a Yale degree from anywhere, or Cornell College? But he got something that a person with knowledge couldn't even compete in. And we always can go back to get what we didn't get early. But they never come back from getting that first to the hood. They don't have to, and they won't. But we always can learn and go to that, which I've tapped into. They call it corporate America. They'll never come from corporate America to go where I came from. That's the difference between 2 degrees and one.
One last question. They're saying you're going to have to go pretty quick. There's a guy that you're talking about one last fight in you, and I know back last month when Gennady Golovkin fought Lemieux, you talked about being able to disarm him. Well, is that a fight that you'd be interested in?
Too small?
Okay.
See, them guys, even though they are what they are, and they got to be respected for that, Triple G is a beast. Like him. Love him.
But you don't think he would fight you at your weight?
Those guys, no. They won't fight anybody at their weight because most fighters is not going to go from 60 to 75.
Right.
I've done it for history. That's the difference between the last of the dying breeds. There's a lot of things that I've done that I'm glad you mentioned that a lot of people don't mention because they give certain generations a pass. They don't do that in football. They don't do that in basketball. They hold you accountable. You think you're badass? Let's see. I love LeBron James, but he's no Michael Jordan. We proved he wasn't. Is he great? Yes, in his era, in his time, and he should be respected for that. I'm multitasking all these things I make an opinion about, and also bring my IQ when it comes to, and my credibility. My credibility always is questioned when you say things that's out of pocket, that's not right. And so I'm conscious of the things that I say and what I know and what I don't know. If I don't know, I don't know. If I don't know, I'm wise enough over years. What I don't know, I don't know.
All right, they're pulling you out of here. He's got to see you to the press conference. That's Bernard.
Thanks, Bernard.
Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, sir. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in.
Lock them in.
We are back live here at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, where two of boxing's biggest superstars, Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez, will collide in a mega fight for the middleweight world championship. Watch finale of HBO's 24/7 Cotto Canelo tonight at 11 Eastern and Pacific. Don't miss Cotto versus Canelo live on pay-per-view this Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, so 8 o'clock back in Houston. And, okay, you guys couldn't figure out what he was talking about either.
No, no one knows. That's a mystery.
I think the best comment from the text line is he wants to be the pastor at the church of him.
Okay. He's probably the leader in the clubhouse for that job.
Yeah. So for those of you, a lot of you complaining about the boxing interviews and things like that, listen, they pay a lot of money for us to come out here and talk about these fights. So we don't take every single interview. It's just like the Super Bowl. We take guys that we think are interesting. Bernard, we've had before, and it's usually a train wreck.
Yeah.
And sometimes we find that entertaining. So none of us know what to think about it.
We should have asked him what he thinks about Jared Fogle.
We'll see. Okay. Every time I wanted to ask him something and kind of jump in and say, wait a minute, you're full of bleep.
No, there's no way to do that.
No, because he doesn't. And the creepiest part was how he stares directly at you with those weird eyes.
Dude.
While he's trying to make a point. And I'm just, and you're just.
I kept wanting him to look at you.
And I kept wanting him to look at you when he was doing it to me.
And then he said, there's always going to be a reason people don't like you. Like your beard. He was looking me dead stone cold in the eyes when he said that. It'd be like, people don't like you because of your beard.
Why was he talking about diabetes when he was looking at you? Shouldn't he have been looking
at Dylan? I don't know.
But then he just locks in and he's made his point. I'm like.
Maybe he saw me eat that deli sandwich that I ate earlier. I had pastrami on marbled rye.
It's like, ugh.
It was very large.
Anyway, so I guess we heard that TJ Yates will be starting Sunday.
That's good. That's good news.
Is it?
No. There's no good news.
Well, I guess it could be worse. No, not really.
I guess. It could.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, they could say Brandon Whedon's your starter this week.
Yeah, that would be worse.
That would be way worse.
There's not much.
But that's it. That's as bad as it could have been.
Oh, well. I don't know what to expect from the guy. I mean, you're obviously not going to have much of an offense. So you just better hope your defense plays real well again.
Yeah.
So anyway, 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. That's the best way to do it today. Or tweet us. Tweeting is preferred. Or Facebook. Lamont says the only thing I got from Bernard in that interview is that he loves his body.
He does.
So before we got on the plane, I'm watching the Rockets game in the bar last night at the airport and just thinking, boy, that coaching change really helped. And then when we land, found out they came back and won in overtime.
Yeah, it's a good win. I mean, against a bad team, but it's a good win. And I think they really needed to win because of it was the first night without Kevin McHale, and I think they really needed a big performance from Harden, which they got. So things worked out. But I remember telling you when we were coming in, I was like, Harden took 5 shots in the first quarter. He hit 2 of them. They were all threes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what's going on with this guy. But at the end of the day, he did enough late to come back and win the game for him.
They were lucky to get the 3 from Brewer to tie it. But once they did, he was really good in the overtime. I don't think this means they've solved anything. I hate to be the negative guy on this. But that's a game they were very close to losing. And they had no business losing. So they still have a lot of work to do.
But like I said, I think it was important for them. I think it was important for – I mean, it was important for Morey, important for Les, important for all those guys to make sure that they got – and important for James Harden, too, because he knows that his name is being thrown out around with why this happened and what the reasons behind it. And he's no dummy. You know, he understands that there's a lot of pressure on him now. And, you know, at the end of the day – he came through. It wasn't his, it's a volume shooting night. We'll say that. But he got to the line 20 times. That's tough to beat. He had 11 assists. That's a good night for him. I mean, he did a lot of good things And at the end of the day, he got him a win, and he willed him to a win late, which is what really matters.
Apparently, Mikhail's wife was going off on Twitter last night. Can I just say...
Oh, boy.
Can I just say, please, wives of famous athletes and stuff on Twitter, just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Listen, Kevin Mikhail's, they're sending him away with a big pile of money. There's worse things. Don't feel too bad for Kevin Mikhail. He's going to be all right.
You're going to be cashing Rockets checks for a long time.
He's going to be all right.
There's a good one. Who would win a political debate, Hopkins or Gary Busey?
Oh, God. I don't know. I would just hope that it turned into violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I could hope for.
Oh, man. Hey, it was there were just a couple times where I'm like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes interviews are good because you get good stuff out of people. Sometimes they're disasters and they're funny. And sometimes they're where you're like, what the hell?
I've got bad news for TJ, who says the most important question is, when is the interview with the racist old guy who loves Mexican fighters?
Oh, no. Don't break. Maybe he shows up tomorrow.
I don't think he's going to be here. This isn't his promotion. So Bob Arum, unlikely to make an appearance.
Sometimes he shows up anyway.
If he does, I promise you we will do everything in our power to have him on, because he is my favorite interview out here. It's gold to talk to that guy. Him and Michael Buffer, because Michael Buffer is – he's literally got the easiest job in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got one line – he says it over and over.
And he gets paid a bunch of money for it.
And he's worth, you know, a quarter of $1 billion. I mean, that guy is – and he's a good-looking dude. I mean, he's very – he's distinguished is what he is.
Yeah,
like, he's an old guy, but he looks younger than you. And he's, like, in his 70s. He's just –
well, he wears makeup.
Of course he does. But
if I wore makeup, I'd look better than
but
him.
But he's in good shape. He's dressed well. The guy's got
it
going on.
I'm not
going
to dress like that.
You should.
I don't want to. I like the way I dress.
No one else does. There's nothing wrong with the way I dress. There's a lot wrong with it.
Oh, you who walk around in flip-flops around here showing off your disgusting feet.
I haven't worn flip-flops once. It's past Labor Day. I don't do that. I did see a guy in the elevator today who was wearing blue jeans with a T-shirt tucked in.
Okay.
A dress belt that was, he's clearly lost some weight.
Yeah.
So he had to make a new hole in the dress belt.
Oh.
Because the belt was too, and he didn't really need to because the pants were tight fitting, but he wanted to go ahead and make that belt happen anyway. So he self-drilled a new hole in the belt.
Okay.
And to top off the whole outfit, he was wearing open-toed leather sandals. Oof. That's a Vegas look.
Greater than.
With his whole family, by the way.
Greater than or lesser than the cartel outfit at the airport last night and the guy with the all white.
Oh, it's.
And the.
That guy had the best outfit.
Yeah.
That guy was good.
I wish I would have taken a picture of that.
That dude had a straw hat with a feather in it.
Yeah.
You can't beat that. Are you kidding
with
me?
With a do-rag.
Yeah.
And an all white suit. And I wanted to take a picture, but I was scared that. If he really was a cartel guy, I would get chopped into pieces for taking his picture.
Yeah, maybe.
So I did not want that to happen. All right. Well, we're going to talk to Freddie Roach next. And for some of you guys, I do want to let you know before you start commenting on how Freddie sounds sometimes, he does have Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does affect how he sounds. But he sounded really good today, much better than the last time we had him on. I think I was a little concerned about him last time we talked to him because, frankly, he did not sound good. But much better today. Has a lot of really interesting stuff to talk about involving MMA. And the best thing about Freddie is the interview's over, and he's still sitting here talking to AJ about MMA. And his
people were trying to haul him off.
Yeah, they're like, "Guy," and he's like, "Hey, it's not our fault. The headphones are off.
Headphones off. Take the dude away." But he wanted to stay and chat. He loves talking fights.
Yeah, he does. So we're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, you will hear from Freddie Roach. We will have Christopher Harris at 5:30 today to talk fantasy football. We'll have Willie B at 6:15. And so you'll still get to hear all the regular stuff. And we'll also get into some nonsense as well. But, we're going to hit boxing hard. That's why we're here. So, very quick break. Why do I not hear music? Okay, there may be music in the background. I can't tell. I'm going to throw it to break, whether there's music or not. So we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, Freddie Roach. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here in Las Vegas, and always an honor to talk to one of the true legends of the sports, and a guy who... It really needs no introduction, but we'll introduce him anyway. Freddie Roach joins us. Mr. Roach, once again, a pleasure to chat with you, man.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you taking the time. Let's, before we get to the fight here, I know you've coached a lot of MMA fighters in boxing, mm-hmm. so I want to ask you about the Ronda Rousey fight, because it was one of those skill differences that made for an interesting fight. What advice would you give to Ronda Rousey after what you saw Saturday?
Well, you know, Ronda really has to learn more than just the ground game. I mean, she really needs to learn to use her hands much better. I remember when she was first starting boxing, she used to come to my gym, and I've done mitts with her before, but this is a long, long time ago. And, I really didn't have any thought pattern on if she was good or bad. That was so long ago, and she was so effective with the ground game, and she was killing everybody. And then I remember Dana White called me up and asked me to do a radio show, and I did pick her to win the fight. I thought she would take Holly to the ground right away, and because Holly didn't have much experience in MMA but then I found out I was wrong later. She used to be a pretty good kickboxer.
The
kick was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of underestimated her a little bit, and I know she has 31 wins and 3 losses as a boxer, and she beat Christy Martin, and she beat a lot of good girls. So after putting all the facts together, I wasn't surprised that she won the fight, actually. I thought they were just kind of setting Ronda up for another win, you know.
The key things that Holly did well during that fight, I mean, obviously her footwork was really nice. She was lateral movement was really off the charts, and I think it really confused Ronda. Is that what you would say? Footwork is the biggest thing lacking in Ronda's game right now?
Footwork, yeah. She's too heavy on her feet. She's
and chasing.
Like, yeah, and just rushing in like that. And a good boxer is going to take care of that every time. And they talk about a rematch and so forth, and I've been getting calls, are you gonna turn Ronda? And I said, where's this coming from? But somebody has my phone number. But the thing is, for her to learn the boxing game at the level that her opponent was at, it would take too long.
It's a long time.
I mean, the process, it doesn't happen overnight. So I don't really think there's going to be a rematch, because I don't think Ronda is capable of doing that, learning the boxing in a short amount of time. It would take years. So, I mean, we practiced so many years to be a half-decent fighter, But the thing is, because I started when I was 6, of course. But I had a father that wanted to be my fighter, I don't know. Is it really a need for a rematch? I mean, she beat her so bad that I don't.
I think there's a financial need for a rematch,
well,
Freddie.
Okay. Yes,
I think
course,
what it boils down to. And I think she doesn't have to be good enough to beat Holly at boxing.
Right.
She just has to be good enough that she can not get knocked out and use the tools that she has.
Yes. But the thing is, can she get by the jab? The other night she couldn't, that's for sure. I mean, and then Holly being the southpaw on top of that, or being able to switch. I think I remember her in the past going right-handed also. Mm-hmm. She goes both ways, I think, right? Lefty and right?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
It's a
tough situation for UFC right now, because, I mean, they put a lot of money behind that girl.
Let me get one more MMA question in before we get to your guy this mm-hmm. weekend. George St. Pierre, yes. The rumors have started trickling that maybe he's looking, maybe he's ready to come back and do another fight or two.
Not ready yet, okay? He came up with a plan, and I like it. He says, Freddie, what if we do a training camp for 6 weeks? And at the end of 6 weeks, if I feel like I can, like I'm ready to fight, I'll fight again. If at the end of 6 weeks I feel like, you know, I don't have it, it's just not in me anymore, we'll quit. So I like that. He's giving himself a chance to see if he can still do it. And mentally, it's more mental than anything, and that's how the sports are anyway. And the thing is, if he's mentally ready at the end of 6 weeks to go, I would suggest that he go, and I would help him. And the thing is, I would do as much as I can. But the thing is, I'm just a hand guy, and he, you know,
he's got a lot of guys.
Yeah, but his better game is the ground, of course. You know, so but you know. The thing is, the perfect fight right now would be him and Spider, because it would be maybe the biggest fight ever in MMA, money-wise and so forth, and they could maybe both retire with a lot of money in their pocket, maybe. But the thing is, his injuries are so bad, I hear that maybe that's not going to be possible.
Maybe difficult.
Yeah, and then if they put him in, you know, like his last fight was a very tough fight. Now, most MMA people that are in the sport told me that he won a close decision. Most people that just are fans and just watch it outside tell me he lost. But I'm not a really good judge on MMA, because I don't understand the ground game as much as you might.
I thought that fight, and of course it scored 10-9 rounds each round, 5 rounds. I thought if you looked at the fight as a whole, Johnny Hendricks beat up GSP more than GSP beat up Johnny Hendricks. Mm-hmm. But if you scored it by round, I see a very good argument for GSP winning the fight.
Yeah.
So damage is not necessarily the end-all be-all in MMA.
Right, but the thing is, if they want to put him in his first fight right back in with a guy like that, might be maybe a little bit too much too soon. You know, so
I don't think Johnny Hendricks is going to make 170 again anyway, so I don't think
that's
it matters.
I hear that's quite a problem with him.
Well, let's talk about your other guy, Miguel Cotto, who has terrible jiu-jitsu from what I understand, but very good hands, very good hands. And I'm guessing that's the game plan this week against Canelo. How's Miguel looked in this camp, and how excited is he for this opportunity?
You know, it's our fourth camp together, and we've gotten to know each other a lot better, and this was our best camp ever in sparring. He looks great, and he's punching very good, very hard. I got caught last week. I called a 1-2 hook, and I was looking at the right foot, and I was making sure he was pivoting, and I forgot about the hook coming, and I didn't catch it, and I caught on the chin.
Oh, no.
I didn't go down, but it hurt me pretty bad. I was a little wobbly. So that's been the first time in a while. But so he's punching pretty good, and you know, he's really happy right now. He's in a good place. He's 2 pounds underweight right now. He has a day off today, and he's going to have a day off tomorrow. And when I give him a couple days off, he's be refreshed and ready to go. I don't think this is going to be that hard a fight. You know, we're going to outbox this guy, outsmart this guy, use our other knowledge. This guy, you know, about 4 rounds in, he gets a little tired, and then he starts really trying to push it and tries harder. His footwork is not that good. He does follow you. I think we can walk him into shots. I really like my guy in the shot. I mean, I wanted this fight last time. I mean, this is the fight I asked for, and we just couldn't get it because we just couldn't come to terms on negotiations. Now we're finally here, and this is the fight I want.
Is this a fight that, you know, and we've heard a lot with Golovkin just coming off his fight. A lot of people have said the winner may be the big fight for Golovkin to really make him a pay-per-view star. And he needs someone like Cotto or Canelo to elevate him to that next level. Is that a fight that Miguel's looking for if he wins on Saturday?
Yeah, we've talked about it. And if he is next, I would definitely want to get him ready for that fight.
That'd be the most exciting fight ever,
by the
way.
It's a big challenge, of course, but I love challenges. But the one thing in the way, though, is that he fought Mayweather and did pretty well.
He did.
And he tells me all the time,
he
said, Freddie, if you were in my corner, I would have knocked him out. And I said, well, I'm not sure about that. But the thing is, you know, he's a pretty good fighter. But, you know, but anyway, he would call out Mayweather after the fight if he could knock this guy out, because Mayweather couldn't. I mean, I don't think Mayweather's retired for good. So that could happen, I'm saying. But the thing is, They're both against high-quality fighters, very good fighters. Mayweather's a good boxer. Triple G is a very good technician. I love the way he cuts the ring off. Ring generalship is something I teach a lot. He is very good at that. He knows how to set you up. He's a very good hard puncher. I think in that one fight, he started getting a little bit tired, it seemed like. But, you know, it was his first time getting out of the second round. So, right. You know, sometimes that happens.
Last one before we let you go. After the Pacquiao fight, did you personally feel a sense of disappointment that it didn't go you guys' way?
I did. But the thing is, it was really hard to get, because the next day I had to start training Miguel for his fight, and it was, I had to force myself to like get in the gym and do it, because I was disappointed, yes. And you know, there's so much hype around that fight, and so I don't even know if I would want to go through that again, to be honest with you. You know, it was just it was a lot more work than I thought it would be. Just the press is just great. One thing, but then everything on top of it, and then losing the fight, and then not being able to compete after the fourth round because the shoulder gets thrown out. So for Manny, I think Manny needs to go out in his next fight and show the world that he's 100% healthy, and then if he wants to run for president, he'll do that. But if he wants to fight some more, yeah, he'll do that. But, you know, I do think Pacquiao would be the type of guy that would like to be the first president world champion.
All right, that's the great Freddie Roach, a legend of the sport. Freddie, as always, man, great talking to you.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.